Chapter 93. In the tumult of clashing arms, grunts, curses, clashing sword on sword or sword on shield, the thump of cudgels hitting flesh, the muted crack of breaking limbs or shattering skulls, the whistle of air escaping from a throat instead of a mouth, the familiar stench of blood and bile and death-loosened bowels, and the sweat of exertion and the sweat of fear, Kylar was suddenly serene. He kicked low into a white krull's shin, snapping it. He slid past the falling beast, lunged to slide Kurok into another krull's throat, reversed his grip on the sword, and stabbed it through the white krull's skull before it hit the earth. Its death, and the sudden slackness in the krull nearest him, gave Kylar a moment to look at the Titan. It had reached the thick of the fight, 100 paces away. It swept its spiked club in a savage swathe. Krull and men alike were lofted into the air, pierced by spikes longer than swords, and then flung free on its next slash. Kylar plunged back into the maelstrom like a diver into a cool lake on a blistering day. Vi's command to kill gave the world a beautiful focus. There was no fear about protecting others less capable, no worry about advancing at a slow enough rate that the rest of a line of plodding sword swingers could keep pace. No thought of concealing how good he was, not even the muted horror of killing men. A dark facsimile of a Harani bull reared up before Kylar, lashing stump-like feet, slashing mighty tusks. Kylar dodged backward, hesitated until it was about to land on all fours, then dove beneath it. Kurok passed through the bull's abdomen like a comb passing through a princess's hair on the 100th stroke. It was beautiful. The creature trumpeted in pain, and its bowels squirted onto the ground. Kylar was already killing something else. He'd acquired a stabbing spear somewhere, and now he spun into another knot of krull. None had time to swing weapon or claw at him. The spear spun, and Kurok darted like a hummingbird, and 8 beasts died. He wasn't fighting or killing or butchering. It was a dance. He didn't decapitate a krull unless he needed to change the direction of its falling body. It was faster to clip a single artery, faster to cut a hamstring, faster to cut across a face and take both eyes. He stopped killing the black krull half the time, focusing on the white, the bears, the aurochs, and the Harani bulls, anything that was in his path to the Titan. He blinded a Harani bull in one eye, made it spin, slashing at him with its tusks, then speared its other eye. Blinded and mad with rage, it charged, plowing through line upon line of krull, trampling and killing. Kylar found himself laughing. When the Titan was less than 30 paces away, for the first time, Kylar had a cut parried. This krull was different from any he'd yet seen. Where most krull seemed to be crafted on the idea that stronger is better, bigger is best, this creature was man-shaped and as lean as Kylar. Instead of skin, it had a blood-red chitin exoskeleton. Its face was a featureless chitin oval. It held 2 swords of the same material and stood in a perfect, ready stance. It countered 3 daisies with Garen's stand, Kire's crouch with boulders falling. But when it tried to stop the knot loosed with Saidi's wrath, Kurok punched through its chitinous chest. Kylar decapitated it to be sure and saw that the exoskeletoned red warriors were the only krull around the Titan. As the Titan swung its club, they easily rolled out of the path of every swipe. There were 13 13s of them, swarming like fire ants. Between the fire ants and the Titan, the Cenarian center was close to collapsing. The Li Nort, the Cenarians, the Siurin reserves, and the Alateran reserves had all come here, but the center could not hold. The Titan was as tall as 7 or 8 men, and neither stupid nor slow. Where the cavalry bunched, it killed 6 horses and men in a single swipe. Where they spread out, the fire ants darted into the gaps and killed men at every turn. The Titan lifted a foot to stomp on a horseman charging him, and the ants scattered. Kylar leapt through the gap. The Titan's foot came down, crushing man and horse to jelly and shaking the ground. Kylar jumped and grabbed its calf. The Titan wore scale armor, made of scales so big that Kylar didn't dare imagine what they had come from. But the straps holding the armor together were thick leather and enormous hemp ropes. With Kurok sheathed, Kylar clambered up to the Titan's belt. The Titan noticed him and spun so fast, Kylar's feet lost their grip and swung out horizontal. Kylar saw Chitin warriors crushed by the unexpected move. The Titan swatted at him, and Kylar was batted into the folds of its furled wings. Cocooned in soft, stinking leather, Kylar slipped toward the ground. He grabbed a wing bone as thick around as his thigh. He climbed as quickly as he could, and Kurok came to hand as the Titan noticed that he was still hanging on. Kylar slashed once, twice, 3 times, and the soft, hand-thick membrane parted. He slapped Kurok onto his back and slipped through the hole as the Titan unfurled its enormous wings with a snap. Caught halfway through the wing, Kylar was almost knocked unconscious by the whiplash. The Titan furled its wings to try to shake him loose again, and Kylar pushed through and jumped. He caught himself on one of the huge spines protruding from the Titan's back. The Titan spun again, but didn't see him, and then was distracted by some attack Kylar couldn't see. Kylar's feet found purchase on a lower spine, and timing the movements of the Titan's body, Kylar clambered from spine to spine. There was nowhere to brace himself for a blow to cut into the Titan's spine, so Kylar kept climbing until he reached the broad gorget that protected the Titan's neck. A fringe of metallic hair protruded over it, and Kylar grabbed a handful, bracing himself to ram Kurok into the back of the Titan's head. Magic arced through the metallic hairs and blasted him off his feet. Kylar spun, hanging on by one hand. He lost his grip and caught the gorget itself, his hand between the metal and the Titan's skin. Kylar swung around and hacked blindly into the Titan's neck. Magic burst from the Titan in a shockwave. The world went black, and Kylar felt himself spinning into space. There was nothing to grab, no possible way to stop his fall. And from this height, falling would surely be lethal. It was like a dream. The rush of air, the sick emptiness in his stomach, the twist as he braced for the inevitable impact. But he didn't wake up. He crushed something, and heard as much as felt his bones snapping, his collarbone, right arm, every rib on the right side, and his pelvis crunched and crackled. When he blinked his eyes clear, he was flat on his back, a fire ant crushed beneath him. Kylar tried to move, but there was no way. Pain arced through him, so intense that black spots swam in front of his eyes. If he tried again, he'd black out. He was dead. Just like that, Kylar's battle was finished. The Titan had staggered back several huge steps. Its neck was fountaining blood from the right side. Kylar had caught its carotid artery. It screamed. Then it caught sight of Kylar. If Kylar could read emotion in those silver and black cat's eyes, he would have thought he read satisfaction. The Titan stepped forward. It was dying, and it knew it, and it was going to fall on top of Kylar to crush him. Kylar extended one finger to the Titan and lay back and looked at the sky. A speck floated in front of its eyes and he blinked. But it didn't go away. In the sky, diving from mountainous heights, was a bird of prey, diving at great speed. Even in a dive, it was clear it must have had a 30-foot wingspan, and it was diving straight at Kylar. Great, crushed by a Titan or by some huge bird, beautiful. There was no question of moving. So many bones were broken that breathing was excruciating. Kylar looked back at the Titan. The blood fountain from its neck still gushed. It was rocking forward, its perfect white teeth bared at Kylar. The bird snapped its wings open at the last second and swooped into the Titan's face with bone-shattering force. The Titan's head whipped back with a crack, and it dropped like a stone. Backward, onto the lines of Krull. Kylar lay back. He'd hoped to do more. He might have been tempted to think his destiny would have been to do more, but he knew better. Anyway, at least he'd killed the Titan. That was surely worth something. There was a ululating cry from the Siorin lines, and the allies surged forward. Kylar saw men and horses leaping over him. He'd barely closed his eyes when he felt magic sliding into him. With a sure and brutal hand, his bones were wrenched into place and reconstructed in rapid order. When the magic receded, Kylar lurched over and threw up. He hadn't even known he could be healed so quickly. Who else would have tried? One of these times you're really going to have to save my life. This is really getting old. By the way, I thought I told you to hold on to this. Kylar gaped up at Durzo. His master was extending Kurok to him. Durzo was wearing a huge pack on his back that extended several feet above his shoulders. Except, it wasn't a pack. Oh, hell no. Kylar said. You cannot fly. Tell me you can't fly. Durzo shrugged. Hollow bones? Changes to the heart and eyes if you want to see while you dive. Careful reappointment of body mass. It's a real bitch. Helps if you study dragons. Dragons? No, don't tell me. Kylar stood, shaky from the vast amount of magic that had coursed through him. I didn't think I could heal that fast. He cut off as Durzo's wings melted into his back and his form subtly changed proportions. Durzo had taught him that shifting his features, even the relatively minor shifts from one human face to another, took 8 to 12 hours. Now his master had lost 30-foot wings in a matter of seconds. Unbelievable, Kylar said. It's too hard for you, Durzo said, a note of apology sneaking into his voice. Do you know where Eline is? Kylar demanded. Not for sure, but I know where the party is. Durzo looked like he was about to say more, but he stopped, his face drained of humor. A moment later, Kylar caught what dismayed his master. By degrees, the ground beneath them seemed to sigh. The stench of the newly dead was magnified tenfold. Jorsen's spell, locking the ground, had been broken. The dead demesne shook off its chains and breathed.